Before we begin, welcome home. One and all, it is a privilege, a delight, and a joy to see these pews filled not only with people, but with friendships and community. Hugs and renewal of connections. A network that stretches here and into many different places throughout the region. Welcome home to our Savior, to this place of grace which has served God and this community for over 120 years. Thank you for adding your praise, your joy, and your presence to this celebration. For those of you who are still trying to figure out what the HE double toothpicks is going on, I just want to say a word about that. Earlier this fall, it was discovered that there is a substantial hole in the roof over the education wing. When I say substantial, I could get through it. That's a substantial hole. And what has been discovered in that is that the under roof has become so rotted that it's actually collapsing under the weight of the slate shingles. And the expense of trying to put it right, and a couple of other things that's been damaged by water and a lack of cyclical maintenance, would be not in the tens of thousands of dollars, but in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Before I go any further, did anyone bring a $1 million check for the offering tonight? I've never seen so many people stop eye contact as quick as you did. Well, Pauline, you keep playing the lottery. You too, Pam. All right, you know. And so what that means for us is that the building has finally bested the size of the congregation. Don't be fooled. There's a lot of life left in this place and people. It's just the building has become so overwhelming, and we are at some risk of the building inspector, who has been nosing around and threatening that the education wing should become condemned. Now, who cares, right? We could just stay in here. Except, you know what's in the education wing? The bathrooms. And the safe staircase to get downstairs. And so it's time for us to do as the scriptures say, and to move out to Canaan, to travel a little lighter. And so there will be an ongoing Our Savior's congregation and community, but you are a part of our history tonight because this is the last service that will be offered here in this facility. On January 7th, as Vicar Joshua said, I will be back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'll celebrate Holy Communion and meet with those who are interested in the parsonage. And then you'll all go over to Gil and Diane's and talk about me behind my back. I did notice some of you were trying to pry like souvenirs off the wall. Don't steal anything, please. What will happen is everything in this place will be inventoried. Some of it has historic value, some of it has archival value, and some of it just has sentimental value. Some things will be held for the continuing congregation. Some things will be shared with other congregations that are just getting their start. And before we move too much further, everyone will get an invitation to come back to see those things which might have sentimental value and to take something of this place to be their own. So I saw the Hirschmans trying to lift the pew out today. Don't do that quite yet, all right? Till it's been counted, all right? There you go. Steal the Bibles. You want something? Steal the Bible. There you go. If anyone has any questions about all of this, I'll be around after worship to talk with you. Not only am I the bishop of this synod, I was pastor of this church for 3 years. And so it's good to be home with you tonight as well. At the end of worship, we're going to do something different than we've ever done it before, because why not? You know, it's the last day. So instead of blowing out our little candles after Silent Night, we are going to walk them right out the front door, and we're going to carry our light back into the world, a sign of all of the things that God has done in this place, a sign of that which we carry from this altar into the culture, into our family, and to the world. I'll give you a little more instruction about that don't set anything on fire. That would be a heck of an ending. Dear sisters and brothers all, grace, mercy, and peace be yours and mine from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Amen.
Amen.
Listen with me. Let the stable still astonish. Straw, dirt floor, dull eyes, dusty flanks of donkeys, oxen, crumbling crooked walls, no bed to carry that pain. And then the child, rag-wrapped, laid to cry in a trough. Who would have chosen this? Who would have said yes? Let the God of all the heavens and the earth be born here in this place. Who but the same God who stands in the darker, fouler rooms of our hearts and says, yes, let the God of heaven and earth be born here in this place. Let the stable still astonish. I first saw this poem in a book called Light from Heaven, and it captivated me. How true it is that the same God who chose to be born and placed in a feeding trough would choose to be born in my heart, a heart that is burdened by what I have done, and even more so as we gather here tonight, by the things that I feel I've left undone as well. It makes me think that even though I've got, you know, my fancy pointy hat and my big stick, my beautiful robes and my big bishop's cross, underneath it all, I struggle with the same things that you do. For God's sake, I have 4 kids, 3 of whom are teenagers. I struggle every day not to murder one of them in their sleep. You know, when you think about it, the stable with all its rudeness and crudeness really is nothing compared to my heart. I carry around enough guilt and burden and CRAP poop than the average animal stall. And I'm not saying that so that you think, oh, woe is me, feel sorry for me. Except for the teenager part, you can feel sorry for me for that. But to admit to you that this is the reality that God encounters in so many of us, especially come Christmas. I know all of you want it to be perfect. And golly, when we walked in here, it's as close as it could be, isn't it? It's just beautiful. But if you were to go to my house, you would find out that tonight, before I go home, I've got to go to the 7-Eleven because I forgot the whipped cream for tomorrow. And I realize that I haven't finished wrapping one of my kids' gifts. And it's a big one. And we were all supposed to troop over to my mother's house tomorrow, but now she has pneumonia. It was like the Grinch. She texted me during worship this morning, I'm canceling Christmas. We want it all to be so perfect. We want everything to be just right. We want it to at least feel like what we remember and to come close to what it is that's in our mind's eye. But if you're like me, come Christmas, we're tired. We're worn down. And some of us are drowning in our own mess. And into this comes our God. A God who could have left the world to stew in its own mess, but didn't. I love that God could have and probably should have left me to my own devices to figure out a way to get out of my own self-created disaster. But he didn't. And he doesn't. There have been many dark clouds this past year over our world, our nation, clouds that some of us feel like have chased us around. through problems at work and at home. Grief that overwhelms, anger that blinds, fear that sometimes takes over. It's no secret that these have been difficult days for those of us who love this church. And while we're here to celebrate Christmas with its promise of new beginnings, boy, we know the grief, don't we? The grief of hard endings. And yet, in a stable, in an astonishing scene, unlike anyone could have ever expected, over 2,000 years ago, in a stable, God gave us hope. God gave us new eyes, new hearts, and a Savior whom the Scripture calls Christ the Lord. And over the generations and the eons, over the years, that hope has a way of cutting through the hard places of our lives, of casting its light into the dark corners of our souls. That hope calls us forth into a new day. At the right time. That's what the Scripture says. At the right time, God became one of us. At the right time, God gave us a love that continues to transform your lives and mine for the sake of a weary world. And Christmas is where this hope started, where love blessed us, where love blessed us to begin again. Let the stable still astonish. Let the stable still astonish. Yes, let the God of heaven and earth be born here and here and here and carried forth by this people and all who have been touched by this ministry. Let hope be carried into all the world. Let us pray. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, its glad, great tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. Amen.